My sweater body.
It's still freaking 95 degrees outside every afternoon.
It
so.
Is. I'm a fan of the sweater body, though.
I just keep my sweater body ready to go, just in case.
Never know when you might need your sweater body.
Yep.
If you're never out of sweater body, you never have to get into sweater
exactly.
body.
Exactly, yeah.
Constant sweater
you
body.
Stay ready.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Jay Bazer.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right.
You know what we should try sometime?
What should we try?
We should try recording just like 10 minutes straight of us just having conversations. And then just like chop them up and have like intros like stored up for like,
oh,
the next 10 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. We should do that.
That way we don't have to waste material.
Yeah. Now people, you said it on the podcast, and now people are going to know that that's what we're doing. Yeah. It's going to feel disingenuous.
Yeah. The first of the year, we just talk for 2 straight hours.
That's right.
And then I divide it all up. Yeah.
That's right.
So, all right. Yeah. It's October.
It is.
The
yes.
official
Happy
start
October.
Of spooky season.
Spooky season.
Okay. I didn't know that was the season that we started, but sure. Why not? That's great.
It starts every year in October. I don't
okay,
know.
That's why fine.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Elise and I are pro spooky season. So.
I don't have anything against spooky season.
You're anti.
Yeah. Say what you feel about animals.
I don't have anything against animals.
Yeah.
As he gets visibly irritated.
When it comes to
I'm being falsely
when
accused.
It comes to animals and the spooky, there's no third option. You're pro or against. It's,
there are third options. No. The third option is they can exist in the world and I have nothing against them.
That's against.
Right. I'm not seeking to end spooky season. I'm not out here protesting spooky season.
Mm. Yeah, you might be. You know, I'm just saying, you know. Either for with me or against me.
That's not
and
what Jesus said.
We don't know your life. You might be.
Jesus said, if he's not against us, he's for us. So I'm for you. according to Jesus.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
in the gospel reading on Sunday.
Sure.
But was it about Halloween?
I mean, it could have been.
Okay. This is like really liberally apply that. You heard it here first.
So I recently filled out a will.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's so fun.
It's super fun. Yeah. Everybody likes talking about their wills, right?
Yeah.
I got to sign as a witness for his will.
He was, yeah.
Should I be doing this?
Having a will or witnessing Patrick's will?
So, do you guys need to witness my will for some reason? A friendship bracelet?
Yeah. It's truly the next level of witnessing somebody's will. So.
Like, triangular, we all witness each other's wills.
Yeah, well, I mean, you grow out of that stage where you're in people's weddings, and so now you're at the stage
in
where you're witnessing their wills. Yeah,
it's the two stages of life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I had to start writing down end of life,
okay.
what happens,
ugh.
Or
okay.
what happens when I die, basically.
What did you decide?
I don't care.
You don't care?
That's not making a decision at all.
No, I wrote, you know, donate whatever anybody wants.
Okay.
You can cremate the rest.
Donate whatever anybody wants, cremate the rest.
Burn the house.
Yeah. No,
right. Whoever got dibs on whatever you want.
Yeah. Burn those jeans, burn that bike.
Yeah.
No, but I mean my body. That's okay. Yeah.
I like the idea of just cremating all your stuff.
Right. Just cremate your house, put a tent over it. Yeah.
Option B is stuffing my body and putting it in my office. And
I think that's a better idea. Yeah.
Glass. Put a glass door in, seal it
that's
up,
right.
and that's just what it is. Yeah.
It's now a museum exhibit to Patrick's
right,
life.
Like...
Well, here's an option. If you're wondering, what am I going to do with my eternal remains?
Okay.
World's first underwater cemetery is off this Florida beach. Here's what to know.
Step one,
cemetery.
Don't scuba dive there.
Right, yeah.
That's the first thing to know.
I know. In spooky season, yeah. A cemetery is already kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm.
A cemetery underwater.
Can you imagine accidentally coming across that and being like,
yeah.
what is this?
Well, because it's not what you're thinking. So it's not. It's not like
not a cemetery
it's
underwater.
Not like they just
that's
take,
what they said it was.
It's not just. Well, it's not just like take your corpse and like submerge it in water and like chain it to the bottom of the ocean.
I mean, I assumed you were still buried.
That would be awesome. It's
just floating corpses.
You dive underwater and that was just corpses chained to, you know.
Well, okay, so
that's some Pirates of the Caribbean stuff right there. That's intense.
Actually, I think it's Lake Superior.
Uh-huh.
This is actually a thing.
Okay, but they have bodies chained to the bottom of the Lake
not
Superior.
Not like on purpose chained. So. There are a lot of shipwrecks in Lake Superior.
It's very dangerous.
During specifically, I think during like the early 1900s, there's a time period where there were like some rogue waves and there's some big shipwrecks.
Ooh, okay.
But because of the particular like
waves in line now,
like the salinity of the water and
okay,
some
it's a freshwater lake.
So, but there's something about the mineral content
okay,
in the
just,
water.
Okay.
So
just get to this point.
I want to debate the science.
Yeah, this is not me. This is him.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of bodies from shipwrecks that okay, float just a little bit above the bottom of the lake and that have been calcified.
Calcified bodies at the mm-hmm, bottom of the lake. Yeah, or so just above the bottom of the lake.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And they don't like remove them?
They don't. No.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's you have to get a special permit to like scuba dive there and stuff because it's considered like a grave site now at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. But so that is a thing.
And you need to take down a crucifix because
right,
fighting some zombies down there.
You don't know what's going on. Yeah. Well, anyway, a group of businessmen had an idea. They're going to create a memorial reef, the world's first underwater cemetery.
Memorial reef.
Okay.
It's 40 feet underwater in the Biscayne Bay,
okay,
which is 3 miles off the coast of Miami Beach.
I've actually heard of Biscayne Bay.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, they're taking cremated remains and using that to create like reefs.
That's less cool.
So they're dumping.
I mean, the reef part is cool.
Yeah.
But
they're,
like,
they're using
let
human
the fish
ashes.
Nibble on my bones.
Correct.
You're quiet at a weird time.
All right. So ashes under. So this is basically just like a more focused.
So it's a man-made reef.
What's it called when you throw out the ashes at sea? What's one of those?
Throwing the ashes at sea.
It's like a
spreading
word
spreading the ashes.
Spreading the
ashes.
That's yeah, it. Yeah. It's more. It's more focused. It's for spreading it in this one spot.
Yeah.
As opposed to just off the back of your cruise ship.
Not spreading, even collecting.
Yeah, collecting.
We're accumulating ashes.
How do you collect them under like? In water.
Like, right.
I'm sure you know there's probably, like, you know, it's not just straight ash. Like, you got to put a substance in there, right?
Okay. All right.
You got to kind of hold it in place.
Are they, like, mixing it in with the sand? Are they just, like...
I don't have the details here. And maybe there are in this, but I don't really care enough to look.
Form the ashes into, like, a reef-like structure, and then the polyps attach themselves
yeah,
to this?
Yeah. I mean, I assume as every man-made reef, they've got some work on
yeah,
our end
sure,
and then mm-hmm, kind of coral takes over.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. Would you want, what are you interested in this? Would you want to do this?
It sounds
cool,
like the,
yeah, it's a neat idea.
It sounds like the characters on Davy Jones.
Anti.
Oh, part of the ship, part
yeah,
of the crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anti, not interested.
You're not interested? Interested?
That's what I forgot to put this in my will. I need to go make an amendment. You're
yeah,
going to have to re-sign it here.
Love yeah, it.
Do not make me into a reef.
Yeah. Spread my ashes, not in the water, not in the ocean.
So is it just not underwater that you don't want your ashes to go underwater?
The ocean is terrifying.
Oh, okay.
I'm not interested
in this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
There's the ocean is the most terrifying thing on the planet. It's all
the ancient Israelites would agree with you.
All crazy monsters are happening down there. Look, the best
chaos.
The best reason to go to Mars is to get further away from the ocean. All right.
So you're not a snorkeler.
I've snorkeled. It's fine, but once you get past the areas where you can see the bottom, it's all terror. You know.
Okay. Well. That's,
Patrick's got his opinions.
I know,
there
yeah,
you go.
That's a real, you know, look, there's monsters down there that are legit.
There are monsters
yeah,
that
get
are
it,
that, that's
I get
no
it,
argument.
Yeah. All right, but you're interested. You would want put your body in a reef.
I mean, it's a nice little conservation idea. I also like enjoy free diving and stuff, so like ooh, I'm
there
like,
you go,
actually into the ocean.
Okay.
So like that's a nice idea. I my plans
you
though,
could free dive to 40 feet. That's very reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I guess though here, if your loved ones want to come, you know, do a little visit, they got to get like a scuba certification course to come down and say hi.
No, I mean you can free dive to 40 feet. It's
yeah,
not
you'd
on
have
your
to know
first
it,
one.
You'd have to know what you were doing.
Yeah, yeah. You need some time to work up to that.
You got to swim down, and you're like, and then you got to go find you down there.
Right,
like,
but if they're committed, they'll
you
do
could,
it.
You could scuba. I mean, if the water's clear, you could scuba at the or not scuba. You could snorkel
at
the
top
and
see
the reef.
Yeah,
yeah.
There she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if somebody comes to visit me, I don't want them 40 feet away, being like, I kind of see. I think where you are over there. I'm just saying, you know, where's your commitment level?
Wow. Okay.
Get your scuba certification to come visit my.
It doesn't count unless you're down here with me.
All right. There you go.
Like, that's like saying I drove through the parking lot of your cemetery and I looked at the window.
I anticipate having better things to do with my time than concerning myself with who is or is not within 40 feet of my grave. So <Yeah. laughs>
I sure hope so anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You also could be have your like remains like pressed into like an image of like a octopus or a turtle.
Oh, I like that.
And
look
put,
at that octopus.
And put that under
yeah,
the water too?
Yeah, and that just like
okay,
sinks
that's
down
a,
there.
That's a dead person.
That's a dead person, yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. One of the cutest dead people I've ever seen.
There you go. Or, and you could do it as a family, too, you know?
Oh, sure.
All together.
So it'd be like a big statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, because, you know, or either one, you got to gain a lot of weight.
Right.
Or two.
Right.
Nah, all the fat burns off in the cremation, you know?
That's a weird fact to know.
What do you got to gain? Muscle?
I don't know, but like the soft tissue doesn't. Like,
I'm bulking up.
Gains. for the family.
Because I want to be a dolphin.
See, when you cook food, the fat melts off. Like, it doesn't turn to ash. That's
all
I'm saying.
Love this conversation.
Just saying.
Well, yeah, what do I need to get, you know, bigger for my earthly remains?
I don't know. I think it's just bone that turns to ash.
I think so. Yeah. So it actually.
I think the soft tissue just kind of burns away.
It is true also that if you happen to be. Have like a higher fat content, you burn hotter. So they have to, it's like a special oven situation.
Special oven or just like a setting?
I think it's a different oven
okay.
for like the big fellas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we need to move on.
I think so.
Yeah.
Whew. All right.
Well, congratulations on your will.
Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, you didn't ask me to witness your will.
You weren't here. You weren't physically in the building when you needed to
right.
have it.
Yes. Plus, you know, if I knew there was like a debate over it, I felt like a pastor's word is going to go further than a podcaster.
Sure.
That's a low bar.
I know.
Yes. I'm just saying. That's probably true, right?
You had two pastors sign it,
two
as
pastors,
I recall.
Yeah. That's true. Two pastors. Yep.
Goodness.
Yep. All right. Let's get to our main topic.
Let's do it.
We're in the Bible. And we're going through, what does the Bible say about blank?
Ooh.
And the answer is, our today's topic.
The answer is?
The answer is, yes. A lot.
Yes.
Today's topic is immigration.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
And also, yes.
Yes.
So immigration. Now, obviously, we're ramping up for a national election.
We are. We had the vice presidential debate just
last
night. I did not watch last night. I missed it.
I'm going to be honest. Nobody's changed their mind after a vice presidential debate.
I don't disagree. It's not the one that sways people.
This is it. You know, like, I think at this point, you've made up your mind or nothing is going to convince you one way or the other.
Right.
I think there's the possibility for people to have their minds changed. I don't think the vice presidential debate
sure.
is going to do it. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about immigration.
Okay.
Obviously, this is going to come up a lot.
Has already come up.
Over the next couple of weeks and then beyond.
Yeah.
Because this is a key point. You know, they did a survey for evangelicals.
Who's they?
I don't know.
Okay, somebody did a survey. All
surveys. Right. Survey people.
Okay.
Don't ask those questions.
Let's assume it was Gallup. They do surveys.
Yeah.
Post-election, you know, conservative voters who voted for Donald Trump. And what was the one issue?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think amongst Christians it would be abortion, but it was immigration.
Wow.
That was the number
okay.
one issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
So this is, for at least, I assume for conservative voters, the number one. This is it.
For many, it is very important. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of talk mm-hmm. over the last couple of weeks. A lot of talk about Haitians.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That chestnut.
You had kind of blocked that from your memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody doesn't remember, first vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, and then Donald Trump quoted it in his debate performance against Vice President Kamala Harris, alleged that illegal Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, which is like 30 minutes from my hometown, were stealing people's pets and eating the dogs. I think that was the famous line, which is basically not true. Like, not even basically. There is no evidence.
No substantiated evidence
sure.
at all, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... Yeah, it was taken from one woman's account whose pet was later found in her own basement, and the immigrants who are there are also there legally. That's like there has been a massive influx of Haitian immigrants to Springfield, but they're all there legally through a process that was set up by the federal government.
Yeah,
so.
Mm-hmm. and it sounds like for many business owners in the community, Haitians have kind of like. Replaced or come in to fill gaps in their workforce.
Yep.
Yeah, that was not being that were not being filled.
Yeah, they're not just like Haitians don't arrive on the coast of Florida and be like Ohio,
setting our sights.
More people should though. Ohio's great.
They're like, I love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I always wanted to see it.
Yeah. Not close to Springfield. They missed.
So they got close.
They're still a couple hours away.
They're like, you know what? I hear good things about that roller coaster place up there.
Yeah. How about some gray skies and industry?
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, there's an intentionality behind this area.
All right, so immigration, all right?
Yes. But immigration, obviously, it's a big topic or a big idea amongst... we're going to dive into what does the Bible say about immigration?
Yeah, not what do our political leaders say about immigration.
Yes. And then what do we as Christians now do with that information?
Yes. Okay?
So let's get into what does the Bible say about immigration? So I chose a handful of verses here.
Love it.
But there's a lot.
There is. Mm-hmm.
So
there are a lot of places where we talk about this.
One of the areas where the Bible is like more vocal as opposed to most of the areas we get upset about where it is less vocal.
Sure. Yeah. It's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
All right. So first... from Leviticus chapter 19.
Oh, ooh. Leviticus. I love when we start in Leviticus. Yeah.
The laws. Yeah.
The alien who resides with you.
Not talking about E.T. here.
Are we talking about
people. Yes. Pretty confident.
First question.
Okay, yeah. Because the Bible got a whole lot more interesting. Real quick. Yeah. I'm going back to Leviticus.
Yeah.
I read that once and I was like, I think I'm good. Now I'm going to, let's revisit.
Yeah. Check this out.
What do we do with the aliens?
What kind of alien?
That's right.
Because
right, yeah.
E.T. versus alien is two different kinds.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Like a cute alien and like a murder alien.
The alien
murder
who resides.
The worst.
The alien.
I'm hoping for hot aliens, personally.
The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you.
Okay.
You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Okay.
So I think, very ambiguous.
I think it's important, right? Foreigners were being given citizenship status, essentially, right? They were not citizens of Israel, but they were to be treated as citizens of Israel, which was not the norm in this time, right? They had just come out of Egypt where they were foreigners and where they were treated as slaves and where they were beaten and abused and all of this stuff that was not good. And so God is setting a very clear delineation of this is what happened, right? You were slaves. You're not that anymore. This is going to be different now. And I think that's valuable for us to remember.
Sure. So, biblically speaking, translation-wise, alien, foreigner, or sojourner is going to be kind of like...
another good one. Yeah.
That's a good term.
Yeah,
sojourner.
Who this is talking about.
Yeah. So. Watch out for those murder sojourners, though. Yeah.
Sojourner versus predator.
All right. Leviticus 25.
Okay.
We're going to be back in Leviticus.
More Leviticus. Keep it coming.
If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God that they may continue to live among you. You must not lend them money at interest or sell them food at a profit.
Oof.
This cool.
So this is not just about like immigration, but this is like how we treat poverty.
Right. Like, double whammy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, the implication here, if a fellow citizen becomes poor, treat them like a foreigner and stranger. And this is how, obviously, you treat foreigners and strangers.
Right.
Right.
You don't lend them money at interest and you don't sell them food at a profit.
Yeah.
So
there
you go.
Obviously.
So we can't sell them food.
At a profit.
We can sell them food, but not
at a profit.
Right. Yes. We can't make money off of the...
Right.
Correct.
We just got to break even. We all got to be not-for-profit status.
Yeah.
Yes.
HEB is going to have a hard time with that one.
Yeah. Maybe if I go to HEB and be like, actually, I'm poor.
Right. I'm a sojourner.
That's right.
Can I get what's a breakdown look like here?
Right.
Yeah. And then Deuteronomy 27:19. And I only chose three from the Old Testament, but there's obviously a lot.
Yeah.
Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people shall say, amen.
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 Yes. I like it. You know, it's kind of like the evangelical pastors when they ask for their own amen.
That's right. Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen? Yeah. Amen on that. Am I right, congregation?
Amen.
I think if you got to ask for the amen, it's not a good amen. I'm just saying that. All right. So, there were a lot. Again, I could have easily had 15 more verses.
Sure.
They all kind of are saying the same thing, though. I think we kind of, here's a good summary of what it is. The God of Israel is concerned about foreigners.
Yeah.
And sojourners mm-hmm. and aliens while they're in Israel.
A couple of really important ways that we see this play out would be the story of Rahab, who is a foreigner in Jericho before Israel conquers that city, and she's rescued and becomes an integral part of their society. Mm-hmm. And then the story of Ruth, who is a foreigner, Moabite, who is brought back by her mother-in-law and becomes a part of Israel and is in the lineage of Jesus.
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to go to next.
Is
Ruth. Because sometimes we see like rules and laws mm-hmm. for Israel in the Old Testament, but we never actually see them in practice.
Right.
Or followed.
Yeah. And they're like, meh.
Well, we never like, you know, we see them like, this is how this actually worked.
Yeah.
But we do have a foreigner perspective from one of our chapters in the mm-hmm. Book of Ruth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Ruth is a foreigner. Back there, and we kind of see the laws that were in place mm-hmm. where you're not supposed to gather all your grain, and anything that falls on the ground, leave it.
Yep.
And Ruth comes to gather it like mm-hmm. other foreigners would.
Gleaning.
And so we kind of see those rules in practice. Yeah. And part of it, she even is like astonished that this is a thing mm-hmm. because nowhere else is doing this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would you do this? Because I'm a foreigner is kind of what she says.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is like, we take care of foreigners here. Yeah. You know, so she does get married in to Boaz's household and becomes a direct descendant to David and then direct descendant to Jesus.
Yeah, girl, get that bag.
Yes. So in Ruth, we kind of see that. So let's fast forward.
Okay.
New Testament.
Skipping over some stuff, but that's great.
I love it. Well, I mean,
there's a limit of time.
When it comes to this stuff. So obviously the New Testament is going to look differently
mm-hmm.
because Israel is no longer its own country.
Yes.
And so it cannot set policy on foreigners or aliens amongst them.
Yeah.
It's kind of also at the heart of the Roman Empire, not the heart. Like it's like this is the core of the Roman Empire, but it's got quite a big buffer zone between Israel and the borders of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a femoral artery, right? There's a lot of stuff passing through it, going to other parts of the Roman Empire. It's really important. It's a there's a reason that it was like continually conquered by major empires because there's lots of stuff that you needed to do to get through that area to go where you wanted to go.
Yeah. But
I think femoral artery is a good. Yeah,
it's a great one.
I think it works.
Yeah.
Well done.
I just was thinking through my body. Yeah, that's right.
So, admittedly, I'll say there's not as much about how we treat the alien, our foreigner, our sojourner, in the New Testament.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, I do have some stuff here. I pulled one verse here from Hebrews 13:1-3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured.
Okay.
Ooh.
So,
I was with it right up to the torture part.
It's a casual torture reference.
I think that's all right. I mean, the stranger, as you mentioned before, right? The stranger is not just somebody you don't know, but particularly someone who's a stranger in your land, right? Who's new to this era, and how do you care for that person who doesn't have any resources or capacity to care for themselves in that space?
And pretty powerful stuff. Some of you who have done this have actually been entertaining angels.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody here have a touched by an angel experience?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, are you supposed to know if you did?
Well, touched by an angel, they always start glowing at the end of the story, so I assumed that that was...
I never watched that movie.
TV, wasn't it?
It was a TV show, yeah.
Yeah, it was a TV show. Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
I think you're not supposed to know if you have, right?
Well, I mean,
it's without knowing it.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like somewhere
probably at this point. I mean, we've been alive for over 3 decades, all of us at this point. Some of us over 4.
Wow.
So, like,
Zinger.
Maybe you've entertained more angels.
Yeah, probably.
Than the rest of us. Yeah, you got it in more. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm quite entertaining. So.
The angels always give you a good like
Yelp
review.
Entertained seems like a strong bar to get over.
A solid 4.3 on Angel Yelp.
What kind of drinks do the angels like? What are we gonna do, Yahtzee?
We play charades. All right, so.
Pay attention to strangers. Care for them.
Yeah. All right, so other things I thought of in the New Testament.
Okay.
I mean, we have a story where Jesus flees to Egypt as a baby.
In the beginning?
In
the beginning of the story?
Yeah. No, not in the beginning.
Yeah, not that
in the beginning, Jesus fled to Egypt.
I was just establishing it was at the beginning of his life, not that. Yeah, not like,
Now, I've heard people say about that story. That's not really a refugee or migrant story because they're both part of Rome. What are our thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, what?
I would have to think about that. I mean, he's definitely a refugee because he's fleeing because Herod wants to kill him.
Right.
Yes.
So I think you can be a refugee even from a local leader, yeah. And you've now had to leave your homeland to go somewhere else. I can understand they're both within the Roman Empire, so maybe there's some element of protection that comes. Like, it's not like he's traveling to an entirely new country. Maybe this is more like I'm fleeing Ohio and moving to Texas. But I don't think that means he's not a refugee. I think the refugee status stays, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think the it's not like we're moving to Egypt. Right. You know, yeah. Joseph got a better job.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, we're like, hey guys, let's cart up the wagon and head on out to Egypt. Yeah. It's not that.
It's running in the night.
Or yeah. It's not a vacation, you know.
No, you're still far from home under not duress. Ideal circumstances. Yeah.
And I guess even though Roman occupation exists in both, it's not the United States.
Yeah.
Like, they're not states of Rome. Sure. They are occupied countries of Rome. And so they're keeping some of those core languages
sure.
and cultures.
Yep.
So I'm sure the Egyptians don't speak
Hebrew.
Yeah. You know, so it is different. I mean, I don't think the Ohio to Texas, I would say more like when Great Britain occupied like India and Pakistan, mm-hmm. you know, and moving, because like you're still moving to a different country.
It's just
occupied by the same, you know, group of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. You know, also Jesus is going to say, hey, whatever you do for the least of these, you did for me.
Jesus also talks to foreigners on multiple occasions and has, like, has long interaction with the Samaritan woman and interactions with Roman centurions who were certainly been foreigners and that foreign occupiers. And I mean,
So what does the Bible say about immigrants? One, a lot. Mm-hmm. And two, it is pro-immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's pro-caring for people.
It's pro-caring for the immigrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's going to be the question.
Okay.
Because we got that. What do we do with that in the United States, at best, 2,000 years after this stuff was written down?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's two questions. I mean, I think one is, what does that mean for us as a country trying to set immigration policy?
Yeah.
But more directly, what does it mean for us as individuals interacting with and caring about people who are immigrating to our country, right? Yeah. And I think those are related, but they're not questions that can be answered in the same way, right? I think that we have to be able to understand how we interact with people who are immigrating to this place on a personal level. I think we have to understand that before we can even begin to think about a national policy from a Christian standpoint.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Now, historically, I've said, like, the Old Testament rules and law don't apply to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we should look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy here and be like, that should be our national policy.
Sure.
Because I don't think, I don't want to get into a situation where, like, I like what this part says, therefore it should apply to today. And I don't like what that part says, so it should not apply to us to today. I think it's safer and easier to say, nah, that's for Israel and not for us. Especially not for America.
Yeah.
Because America is not Israel. Maybe it's for the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you could make a much stronger case there. But I think it reminds us that the church, we should be concerned about foreigners, strangers, sojourn, aliens, because God is concerned about those people quite clearly in Scripture.
Yes.
Again, like, that's the biggest takeaway. Now, what is our national policy? I'm not quite sure. But they're human beings that we should love, care for, and be defenders of through faith.
Yeah.
Not necessarily through our nationality allegiance.
Yeah, regardless of whether or not they share our Christian faith, right? Because the immigrants that we're talking about in Scripture did not share the Hebrews' faith. Right.
Correct.
They were foreigners. That meant they had their own gods, right? And so regardless of whether or not they're Christian, which many immigrants coming to the United States right now are, but regardless of whether or not they are Christian, we should be caring about them because they are people who bear the image of God in the same way that we do. And how do we care for people who bear the image of God?
Yeah, absolutely. And probably in the United States, most of our people coming across the southern border share the same faith as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, or a version of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're probably more Catholic in nature. So, all right. Any other thoughts on immigration in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, how can you in your day-to-day life interact with people who are not from your land in a way that recognizes their humanity mm-hmm. and God within them? I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us here at Lord of Life, that has looked like supporting Ukrainian refugee families who have been resettling in our community. For some places closer to the border, I know there are a lot of Lutheran churches who are doing direct work with migrants who are coming across the border. You know, the question about people coming into the United States legally versus illegal is a legitimate question. It's mm-hmm. it's a reasonable question to think about. I don't think that the Bible just says throw open the borders, right? I don't think that's the instruction that we get from Jesus. But I do think that we're supposed to have compassion and recognize the humanity in others, yeah. regardless of where a national border line is drawn.
Right.
'Cause those border lines didn't exist when Jesus was here and someday won't exist again, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we set up policies and live into policies that recognize the humanity in all people and treat them as humans?
Right.
And how do we talk about people? I mean, this is probably the part about the whole Haitian immigrant thing in Springfield that was most infuriating to mm-hmm. me, is that it just completely removes them from humanity as if they are just evil evil villains in some cartoon almost that are stealing your pets and right, like this is it's a cartoonish dehumanization, but it's has such horrible implications for how that community has had to deal with this, right? And Springfield has now had pro-Nazi groups come to their town and like protest in front of their city council and like warn their city council against, you know, what they're doing, which is like caring for these immigrants mm-hmm. and doing these things, right? They've had bomb threats on schools and on hospitals, and so those places have had to be closed for a variety of reasons. The National Guard had to come in to like protect schools, right? And so the way we talk about immigrants matters. Whether right. we think that they mm-hmm. should be here or not, whether we think they should come legally or not, the way we talk about people matters. And mm-hmm. we should stop talking about people in ways that does not recognize that they bear the same image of God that we bear.
100%.
Yep.
I'm fully in agreement. I mean, that the Republican mayor said this doesn't happen.
Yep.
The Republican governor said this isn't happening.
Yep.
That Republican business owners are saying that doesn't happen in Springfield, that their Haitian workers are doing, they're filling a need that the community did not get because mm-hmm. they were running out of workers. Yeah, I think that's the first step, is saying, like, we will not tolerate that kind of talk.
Yeah.
Now, you might find, if you're a listener, you might be like, I'm a conservative and I am concerned about immigration because,
sure.
again, mm-hmm. Trump supporters, it's their number one policy is immigration. But you can still say that's not okay, and I stand up for that. I found, unfortunately, kind of a lot of like discussion after the presidential debate mm-hmm. in terms of Haitians was centered on like, well, now we just have to find the proof. And if I find an image of one person who is black mm-hmm. roasting something over a fire that might be a cat or a dog, then it's vindicated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, and we're and a group of people desperate to find that image.
Yeah.
To vindicate that language instead of saying, I'm concerned about immigration, I'm concerned about illegal immigration, and I'm concerned about my country, but we cannot talk that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is probably the most concerning to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
How we talk about our neighbors.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a political statement to say that we should talk about people.
Yes.
In a way that recognizes the humanity of God.
Yeah, what even is politics these days, though? Like, it's so devolved from, you know, the level of decorum that we used to expect from it. Like, it's just...
Sure.
I don't...
Yeah, it was one of the things that I read about the vice presidential debate last night was that it was, like, shockingly normal.
Huh. And that they were, like kind of nice to each other.
Like, they didn't just, like, yell and hate each other the entire time. And at the end, they shook hands. And stood next to each other and chatted while their spouses and family joined them on stage.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's now like shocking to us. We're like, wait a second.
But that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got a study here.
Okay.
Okay. Do we know who did this study? Okay.
PRRI.
Hey, we've used them before.
Yeah. All right.
Why do I remember that? I don't know, but we have PRRI.
This is from 2 years ago.
Okay. So.
All right.
Maybe we use this study.
Right.
The majority of Americans support a path to legal citizenship and more welcoming immigration policies.
Okay. That sounds like me.
Yeah. 64% of all Americans support a legal pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants.
Okay.
Okay.
So people who are here and they should have a legal pathway to become citizens.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Only 47% of white evangelicals agree. They're the only Christian group that's below 50%.
That's not surprising.
Interesting.
So, in 2013, 58% of white evangelicals supported a pathway to citizenship. And 10 years later, here we are.
It's them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, again, I told Elise here before we recorded that when I was researching this, you know, I found some more conservative things talking about immigration, and they were kind of.
Are you on like somebody's watch list now?
Maybe. Well, it felt like more the trying to make a biblical argument for former President Trump's policies on immigration, and I would say like some massive leaps and ignoring some major things.
Yeah,
because I think like once you say like what does the Bible say, it's hard to walk away saying build that wall. Like it's just hard to say that, and you know,
unless you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yeah, because they built a wall.
they did build a wall. They did that.
it's a little different, but it's hard to walk away from Haitians are eating the pets.
I agree.
You cannot land there based on reading the Bible.
Yeah.
But people have landed there based on other reasons and now are looking backwards to say, well, how can I get the Bible to support where I am right now?
Yeah.
And I think that that is...
That's a tough stance to take with anything, though.
Sure.
Like, how can I get the Bible to support where I am right now? Mm-hmm. You're already doing it wrong.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be clear, right, I don't know that President Biden or President Obama before him, right, have had immigration policies that align with the Bible in a better way.
Agreed.
They've had different policies. Yeah. I don't know that they are more biblical, right? I think we can be honest about that too. But let's stop trying to say like, oh, well, I can justify this particular policy by reading this one verse of scripture. That's helpful.
Biblical language is probably the first step, is what we want to start with.
These and thous. That's what we need.
Yeah.
More of these and thous.
More of these and thous.
So-and-so begat so-and-so.
Yeah, when you move into the United States, who were you begotten by?
Right. I do have a quote.
Okay.
From Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
Personally?
No.
Okay.
The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. Mm. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. I have some bad news for Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe we became an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority.
Well, we for sure became a tool, so there's that.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I think, this is an area where the church should be the conscience of the state.
Yeah.
That we should see the humanity amongst the least of these.
Yeah.
These are the words of Jesus, and you cannot get away from them.
Yep.
Again, this does not mean let everybody come in. And this does, and you know, the response is always like, open up your doors at night or whatever. That doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
It means that if the Haitian is living among you, we treat them with love.
Yeah.
Because God tells us to treat humanity with love.
Yeah.
And some might be angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, and just to be clear, this does not establish that any immigrant has done this, but like when you treat people with love, they're also probably less likely to like cause a problem, right? Like, when people are loved,
like,
and integrated.
You kind of create some of your own problems there, you know? Like...
Poverty begets crime more than anything else.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, statistically speaking, immigrants commit less violent crime than
their... There is a buzzword called migrant crime, and that's not a thing either. And we
again, that doesn't mean that no migrant has ever committed any crime.
Right.
But statistically speaking, across the board...
By and large, you want to fly under the radar, right? Like, if you if you want to be able to stay in a place.
I mean,
like,
I've never been
like
an undocumented worker, but
you're not like, let me draw all this negative attention to myself.
Sure.
You know, like,
I would imagine
not
that's
really,
probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, for most of us, like, none of us have, like, kind of the mental or imagination capacity to say, like, what would happen if I needed to cart my family 20,000 miles for the hope of a better life when I got there. I'm sure we would think, we hope that wherever we're going responds quite differently than maybe the ways some of us have talked about those who have done the same thing.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. There you go. That's what the Bible has to say about immigration.
All right. I'm going to add one thing. If nothing else, I would hope that the church in the place where I was going would respond differently than perhaps the church has responded here.
Agreed.
Yep.
So that's on us. Yeah. Not like the podcast, but, you know, us.
The greater church.
The greater church.
The royal church.
Yes.
Listeners.
We. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, I'll say this is one of our better What's in the Bible episodes. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can go back.
This was the clearest, I think, you know.
You can go back and find all of our What's in the Bible episodes on the first of every month. You can find all those episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And, of course, if you have questions for us, we'd love to get those, too. This week, you can send us your questions about... What do we got? What's our questions about?
Well, what other, what's the...
How do you want to be buried?
Yeah, you can tell, that's not a question, but you can tell us how you want to be buried. Probably more helpful if you put that in a will, but you can also email it to us. That is not a legally binding email when you send that.
I'm just curious.
I'm an advocate for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. I think we're probably running down on these What's in the Bible episodes. Mm. I think we're kind of coming to an end.
Okay.
We might have one or two more, but these probably won't be as in-depth as this because I think we're just running out of those bigger topics. It might be like small scattershot topics of like we'll do four and there's like one or two verses.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you do have any minor questions, please let us know so we can kind of make sure they covered.
Or a major question that we missed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we missed a major one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.